Who's gonna do the intro?
Go on, Melanie. You do it. You can be in charge.
I didn't write anything down.
Neither did I.
Sing it.
I mean, I don't know if I'm gonna remember everything. I'm gonna try. What do we say? Hello and welcome.
There we go. You've done it.
That's not the intro.
That's it. That's the intro. No. Well, okay.
Maybe that was the intro.
No. Okay. Hey guys, welcome to Sorry.
Okay, so we're doing High School Musicals.
No, wait, let me actually try. Hey, Wildcats, welcome to Sorry Madam Podcast. Today we're doing High School Musical.
No.
I really tried.
I wasn't ready for that.
That's the intro. So we're rolling.
Today with me is Mike and Reese, and we will be discussing the amazing High School Musical films and the series. And
do you mean the High School Musical films and the amazing series?
Yeah. I would like to make it very clear before we start to all of the listeners, I want to make it very clear that there is no irony in this episode.
No.
Yes. We are legitimately discussing these very positively.
Yeah. Especially. Very seriously. I also want to thank Spike Capper for making our amazing
for making
High School Musical. Thank you. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you. We're all in this together. Yeah.
How are we doing this? Are we going release order?
No,
or are we going what's the
release
thing?
Order? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the release order. Yeah.
The thing is, it might be pretty hard to talk about the three films separately because they're all.
Yeah,
they're all kind of also.
Gabriella, start getting along. It. Then Troy has a crisis, and then then they fall out. Then Troy has a crisis. Then they creepily get back together. And
You've missed one step. They sing about how much they love each other, and then they break
up. Yeah, they both have a solo.
Something vaguely confusing.
They go to the roof where there's flowers and stuff.
That's only in the third one. No, that's only in the third one.
It's the roof in the first one.
Is it in the first one as well?
Oh, they do?
Okay. Well, the first
on
musical.
The golf course.
Should we explain why we're talking about these films? Because I think it's important to to put context into why we're speaking about these, I think.
Because they're great.
So we are all just, I mean, let's all say how we got to High School Musical. When I was young, I just randomly turned on the TV and there were people singing and dancing and I loved it. And yeah, High School Musical, it's great. And then when the second one came out, I was in some hut in the mountains and there was a really tiny TV and I made sure that on premiere day, I was going to watch High School Musical 2 and I did on a little TV and it was the greatest thing ever.
What's premiere day?
Well,
the day
just
came
the first day that it was showing.
I thought that was some special day. Sorry. What the fuck's premiere day? No. I first saw High School Musical. I saw the second one the first time in Sunday school, actually, thinking about it, in chapel. Oh, it's years ago now. And it was done downstairs and wasn't really paying attention. It's one of those things that you look and go, I'm going to pretend I don't like this because I'm going to shout about Star Wars and stuff instead. I think, particularly in British schools, there is a stigma around, right, if you're a boy and you like musicals, go away, like Star Wars instead. But in year
There's
seven...
There's no stigma around liking Star Wars?
No.
No, everyone likes Star Wars.
Everyone likes Star Wars. Cool. but then in year seven, our school did a Welsh version of High School Musical. As our Christmas show, and I was in it. It was good fun. I was like one of the extras sort of people who just danced.
One who asked if there's any apples left at the end.
No, it was my second favorite show we did in school because we did Les Mis when I was in sixth form. That was amazing. And then,
very ambitious for a school musical.
It was good. No, it was in Welsh as well. I was one of the barricade boys. It was, and I also played a pimp, and I played a gentleman, and I played a prisoner. I was basically in every single
this
scene.
This sounds as confusing back. High School Musical at the end then, of well, season one. You know, High School Musical, the musical, the scene.
When Disney Plus came a thing, you know, there's always that thing you go, right, I'm going to try and revisit stuff and see, is it as good as I remember? And two of these films are good. One of them I don't like. And then we moved into the series, which I had no intention of watching ever. And I was blown away. I know, Mike, maybe you had a similar entrance to it.
I High School Musical was massive when it was coming out. I remember, like, when we were kids, it was huge. I was in year six, and I remember everyone really ranting about the first one. Everyone was like bringing the High School Musical annual to school. Like, wow, look at Chan. I was like, I don't care. But because my sister liked it, I decided to be really cool and not like it.
Exactly, yeah.
Because my sister liked it. So I just didn't really... So I saw them because she was watching them, but in the mindset that I hated them. And obviously I wasn't a big Vanessa Hudgens fan yet. I've changed now. but then we watched them. We watch them. I know we've mentioned this a lot throughout the podcast. We watch sort of like cheesy teen movies on Wednesdays. We have for almost 2 years now. And we just added High School Musical to the list because they're like...
What they
they're
fit.
Like such tropey high school romance films, aren't
melodrama.
They? And like, I didn't expect them to be any good. And Melanie and Alice, our other friend, kept telling us how good they were. And I thought, well, it's definitely nostalgia. And then we watched them. And boy, they're really good.
No, like, I think it is nostalgia as well.
It is nostalgia. But also, I didn't have much nostalgia for them. And I still really like them. Like, the writing's a bit weak and the characters aren't very well fleshed out and the stories are nonsense, but they're so much fun. And God, that soundtrack. The soundtracks are so good.
Yeah, they're very good.
The music is so good.
I'm the same as you, Reese. I had no intention to watch that TV show. Then when we finished them, everyone on the Wednesdays was like, why don't we just start watching this an episode a week after the thing? And for the first episode, I was like, oh, this is very cheesy. And by the end of episode, and I started watching it as a joke. And by the end of episode two, I was really excited for the third week, and I was just really excited to tune in every
week. It became every Wednesday became right. We're going to watch this film, whatever it is, and it's literally just waiting an hour and a half.
Yeah, so wait for it to end.
Because
the characters are so good, and the writers are so good, and the jokes are so funny, and the songs, Jesus Christ!
Oh God, the songs!
They're lucky they had Olivia Rodrigo and Julia Lester, and
like Olivia Rodrigo is in it, and she's like far from the best character. And I'd say she's the best singer in it, but they're all amazing.
Ashley is a really good singer as well.
Ever since finishing season two, I'll say that Ricky's grown on me a bit, but Nene is sort of like, do you know in Gavin and Stacey, how Gavin and Stacey are the most boring characters, but they have to be in it because they're the main character.
I wouldn't call them the boring characters in High School Musical.
She does become it, but...
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll get to that when we...
I do have one more distinct memory about High School Musical is in that in Britain, when they went on tour, they used to go on tour with the musical, didn't they? I remember it in Britain when I they... Instead of wearing the Wildcats shirt, Troy would wear an Arsenal's top. And that's a distinct memory I have.
What team? Arsenal?
Arsenal.
Yeah.
Let's start with something old, I guess.
Ooh.
It's not
no,
very new, is
no,
it?
No. You should have said it.
Start with something. No, it's anyway, it's start off something new anyways, but... Yeah,
isn't
let's
it
start.
Very
High School
distracting
Musical 1.
That Zac Efron is not singing.
It's not that he's not singing. It's that they clearly made an attempt to mix his voice in with the singer, and so there are times where it goes very computery.
And it's really distracting because Vanessa Hudgens is like giving it her all.
Yeah,
but that's like Zac Efron's like lip
syncing
next to her.
Vanessa Hudgens is really squeaky as well. She's a really squeaky singer.
Yeah. I would say the first one is the best Vanessa Hudgens solo. I don't think this is the best one.
Yeah, but I think the Vanessa Hudgens solos in the films are often like the weak points because once you've reached the point where for like no reason they've split up Troy and Gabriella, and the reason they split them up in this one is just it's a bit miserable to watch because like everyone else in the school is like Troy's bullying mind them. Is like kind of off the football. Why don't we all gang up on this girl and bully her until she cries? God. It's like, God, Chad. I don't like anyone in this film except Troy and Gabrielle. Oh, and Kelsey.
I think Ryan comes off fine as well, I think.
Yeah, Ryan's pretty good.
Just. Ryan has a much stronger showing, like a film later. Yeah,
Ryan actually has an arc throughout the trilogy.
Yeah.
He does, yeah, which is crazy. Yeah, I think because like Sharpay is supposed to be like the despicable villain, but Chad is so mean.
Yeah, it's I found myself really frustrated watching that film because I did want to like it. Like you want to go into stuff wanting to get something out of it, but the problem is, yeah, the characters are just too horrible, and like the bits where there should be an emotional, like, oh my God, what happened? I can't believe that happened. That never happened because it's more of, you're right. Here we have this boy who gets 20 other people to group up in order to get a girl to cry. And you just watch and go, and then they sing about how they're all in it together at the end. Like, that's not true. That's a complete lie. Like, and then Sharpay comes and sings in the end. It's like, no,
that's not what happened. And
I will say this. Sharpay and Ryan's version of Sharpay and Ryan's version of what I've been looking for is so much better.
Oh, it is
so much better than Troy and Gabby.
So much better.
It's a bit weird, though.
It's a bit weird. You have to remember their siblings, don't you?
Yeah. Especially seeing as like they didn't need to steal it because their song is already like. Yeah. It's a bop.
Up to the top.
There's a very strong Lannister vibe about those two sometimes in this film. Yeah.
Ashley Tisdale is so good in these films.
Yeah. Should we go for our favorite songs at least?
Of the first one? I have Start of Something New as number two overall, so it's safe to say that one's.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, it's the beginning of a new era.
Top 10. We both got top 10s for the films in the series. We split them because otherwise it would all be the series. I've got three High School Musical songs in my top 10. I've got Breaking Free at 4 because it's amazing. Yeah. It's so good. I've got Bop to the Top at 7. Because it's a bop.
Huh.
I've got four actually. I've got We're All in This Together at number 9, which despite being a lie, is still a great song. Got The Start of Something New at 10 because it's a great song.
Here's the thing about I'll say this for Breaking Free, right? Breaking Free is one of those songs where we've all been to school discos for years, right? And it always comes on.
Yeah.
And to see what it's actually like in the film. Do you know like when you like watch clips of films on YouTube sometimes? You're just going through or you watch clips of a show on YouTube, like just little like 2 or 3 minute, 4 minute scenes. And then you actually see what like how they fit into the show. Like the film, you're like, oh my God, that works so much better than just listening to it. Because the scene of Breaking Free, everything that's come, it's a bit weird how it comes around in the film because it's not quite the finale. The finale is the basketball game. And then we're all in this together. But it's the true finale of the arc where Troy and Gabriella together. It's where it all comes together. It's what they stop the base of the basketball game in order for them to do it. So it's actually the climax. Well, and they just nail it because it works so well. And don't get me wrong, compared to the later songs of the later films where you've got like big set pieces and stuff, just having a moon hanging down and they go up and downstairs, it's so much smaller. But two together singing is fantastic.
Really
works. Although it's got the most songs in my top 10, I think it's got the weakest soundtrack overall. Because outside of those four, there's like, I'm not really that big on many of the others. Maybe Get Your Head in the Game.
Stick to the Status Quo.
These soundtracks are sad.
Stick to the Status Quo is my fourth favorite because not only is it a great song, you get a lot of additional cast in it. It's probably the best dance number of the film.
What's impressive about that scene is that when we were watching it, we looked at every single character when we were watching that together and said, give them a spin-off.
Not the cello guy, because apparently he's not a very nice guy.
But yeah, I also have Start of Something New, then I also have We're All in This Together at number 4, Bob to the Top 6, and Breaking Free at 9. And as I said, best Gabriella solo is also in this film.
When I've got, I've also got what I've been looking for with Brian and Sharpay, as creepy as it is. Because it's a bop.
Cersei and Jamie's, I know what I've been looking for.
It's a really good soundtrack. We're going to have to
I guess we'll move on to High School Musical 2. Is the worst song of the whole trilogy is in the best soundtrack of the trilogy. Because I think High School is like, every scene you're treated with a new song. It's like, yeah.
Are you on about Humo Humo Nuku Apua'a, please.
Like that's the one. And I was just watching that scene, and you can see, like, when you're watching it, and I don't know what they were going for. Like, it was supposed to be like that, or whether like it was supposed to be catchy. But you can see the point halfway through where Ryan goes, "Oh God, what have I done?"
Oh my God. Also,
I think Humo Humo Nuku Nuku Apua'a wasn't always in the film. I think like when I watched it the first time, it wasn't exactly. It wasn't always in there. It was like a deleted scene for a long time, and I guess now they just put it in.
Because they like they kidnap Troy, they put him in a chair. Sharpay does weird thing around him, and like Ryan is just like, oh God.
But at least I now know how to pronounce a fish from Hawaii.
Yes.
So.
Oh yeah, isn't it like a floor fish? What was it?
Sharpay is appalling in this film. Like when she comes across Troy, it's like, oh Troy, let's go to dinner together. We have skin tone compatibility. It's like, Sharpay.
Oh God,
yeah. No.
I can't believe that.
An amazing song in it.
Fabulous. Oh. Yeah, so good.
Even that fond of Fabulous.
Fabulous is at number 10 in my top 10 overall.
High School Musical 2. It's the best one of the films, I think.
Yes.
What a setting. Like, yeah. It's so good.
And it's got the best line of the entire trilogy, which is, that girl's got more moves than an octopus in a wrestling match.
Thing is, because is that a Chad line? Chad, such a massive step up from the first movie
because
here.
He's paired with Ryan. That's why.
Yeah. I came out of this movie convinced that in the third one, Chad and Ryan were going to be a couple. And then I remembered who made this film.
You mean Disney? Because the director...
Not Kenny Ortega.
Okay.
Oh, Disney.
High School Musical 2 is so good.
Speaking of Chad and Ryan, though, I Don't Dance, number one on my top 10.
Oh, wow.
I am an absolute slut for I Don't Dance.
I
think it's an outrage that Alyssa Rulin, who plays Kelsey, is 14th on the cast list when she's basically the third main character.
I regularly ranted about this to you guys. I think these movies do nowhere near respect Kelsey enough. She's one of the most important characters because she's the one that like does all the actual like.
She can play
music.
The piano.
She plays the piano.
She's
one of the best characters. She's the only one that never does anything like horrendous to anyone else.
Yeah.
I will say that.
And, like, she doesn't even get on the poster. She doesn't even get to be in the jump.
No, never. It's all. Like, she doesn't even get a little bit in the final song of the finale. But we'll get to that. Like, I'd say that High School Musical 2 has the best story. With Troy,
it's got
like,
the best like.
It actually has conflict with Troy. A lot of the time, the stuff with Troy is, oh no, this is a problem. I'll just choose to do both. Which is what he does in the third one. But in this, it's like, he's having an effect on everyone around him. And the thing is, they set it up so well. Like, he dragged them to this resort to work in. And, like, he's the one trying to motivate them to work. And then he gets distracted himself. And I'm not a massive fan of Bet On It as a song. But it's a great moment.
When he's looking in the water.
He sees himself. iconic.
It looked like the pilot.
I don't think it's got the best story. I think Troy's like, because in all of them, Troy has exactly the same like plot line. And this is just the one where it's like best written. Like, you understand like how he's like being like conflicted by the two sides. You understand why him and Gabriella are falling out. You understand why he's falling out with the others. And it just helps that like in this one, it's very directly Sharpay and the other people in the resort are the antagonists trying to split Troy and the friends. And all the others are still friends. It's in the first one, it's kind of miserable that like everyone is like against everyone. It's like everyone's a warring faction in it. Whereas this is like, It's very much like Sharpay versus everyone else. And it's,
then you also have Ryan defecting, which leads to the best song of the film. I Don't Dance. It's not the best song of the film for me, actually, but it's the best set piece in the film, I think. Great. Like that's when you watch it and go, and the same with What Time Is It? It's like they really step up. They realize, okay, if we want to make money, we have to go into the songs, because that's what's going to go on the album, and you want people to get the karaoke version and the dance version.
Yeah.
And they really step up.
And it's what people remember, isn't it? You come out remembering the songs. But this one, like as I said, just the setting helps so much. Like setting it in like a summer camp with these characters with such like great songs. It's just like, it's such an easy watch. Miley Cyrus shows up.
Oh gosh.
Yeah,
I was about to say does Taylor Swift show up in this, but that's
Hannah Montana.
I've got like four maybe. Yeah, I've got four.
I have four High School Musical 2 songs on my top 10.
One
got I Don't Dance at number 3 in my top 10. Because it's the best song in this film. It's so good.
It's so good.
Which one?
It's so good. Incredible. I don't dance.
It's giving Chad and Ryan the moment they needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They deserve
it. It's heartbreaking that we're not getting a like Sebastian and EJ.
No, we will. We will.
Oh no, wait, because Sebastian Sharpay ignore me.
He gets all of Ryan's line. Ryan's
got
lines.
What
as well.
Time Is It at number 6? Because it's just like a great opening. Like the second you open that, you're like, this is gonna be the best one. And then I've got
I actually remember when we watched it, we were like, a lot of us were still sniffy, but after High School Musical 1, and then What Time Is It start, and we were all hooked, because I think like it's this is and we'll get to this a lot in the series, is this is a key example of just give stuff a go. And like just if it's not being horrible and it's not being mean or anyway, just enjoy it, just sit down and at least also, this nice music
and movie is like deeply artistic. It's in 4:3.
Yeah. So it is. And it's got a very strong color theme.
How great is Chad's I Majored in Vacation shirt?
So good. It's great to
see. The other songs in my top three, I've got Every Day, which is the duet between Troy and Gabriella. I don't know what it is about a Troy and Gabriella duet. I think they work really well together all the time.
Also, Zac Efron singing in this one, which helps.
You are the music.
You are the music.
I even like that version as well. Yeah. I like the original.
It's your pace version.
I say my favorite song of the entire trilogy is the You Are the Music of Me, but the one with Kelsey. It's just a nice little song. And like, especially on the soundtrack, there's nothing special like dance-wise about it. It's just a nice vocal one. And then I've got What Time Is It as well, obviously. And then the rest of it is High School Musical 3, which I really enjoyed.
So I have four as well from High School Musical 2 on my top 10. Number one is I Don't Dance, with a special mention to the clothes swap they do right after the song. And then I have, where are we? Bet on It, number 5. What Time Is It at number 7, and Fabulous at number 10.
Mike, did you know that Corbin Blue is in a relationship with Sasha Clemens of How to Build a Better Boy?
I did not, because I forgot that film existed.
There we go. Oh, did you?
A true Noah Centineo classic.
Build a Nazi.
Was High School Musical 3 your favorite of the trilogy, Reese?
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's the best, right? It's one of those where I know it's not the best. I do think that High School Musical 2 is a better film, but I just enjoyed High School Musical 3 a lot more. I don't know what it was. It was the first time I'd ever seen it, which was, I think, part of it. I like a finale. And, you know, it got to a point where we'd watched so many terrible, like, senior year, prom, end of high school films. By that point, I think it hadn't been that long since we watched The Prom and just stuff like that. It was such a relief to come across one that was vibrant, colorful. I think it takes every single song that we've seen before and turns it up to 10. Every element about it is better. I think song and dance wise, this is the best one. I mean, it starts with All I Want, Is it All I Want? I don't even think it's a great song. I've listened to it on the soundtrack, but you watch like you watch the video of it, and you can clearly see, okay, here's the money. Take our money, do the best thing you can do, the most brilliant. The choreography in this is fantastic, and it's just a step up from the first film, if anything. I will say that it does the story is, and I've said this before, is it's just Troy. He has to decide between going, is he going to be a singer? Is he going to be a basketball player? And he ends up choosing both, which is really disappointing. And you know, when they do the reprise of "We're All in This Together" at the end, you're like, do better than that. But then they go to they do the High School Musical song, and then they go in front of like the curtain and they jump, and it's like, oh, this is really nice. I really enjoyed my evening.
I like this more than the first one.
Oh, a lot.
Like, not by much. I like them almost on par. I like two more. I think the story in this does suffer, mainly because I like the story, but I remember just thinking that like the Troy and Gabriella fallout in this one was just like, I had no idea why they were falling out this time. And then the way they like up in this one is he like appears in...
Sorry.
Hey, Gabriella. What am I, some drunk? Like, he's in a suit, like, up in a tree. And I remember being disappointed, like, while watching it, that, like, they kept talking about the musical, but we just weren't seeing any of the musical. I was like, so what is the musical then? And then you get the big, at the end, that the whole film was the musical. Yeah. And they're like, on stage the whole time.
Hey, so, it's a great medley.
It's a great medley.
Really good medley.
But I think, like, the soundtrack and set pieces in this are amazing. Yeah. There's only, you can see that. They really, because like just all the set pieces are massive. I think it's got the most consistent soundtrack.
But
I think some of the songs are some of the best in all the films. And there's only one song in this one I don't really like, and it's Gabriella's solo when like everything is fading out of reality.
Is that Walk Away?
Yeah, I'm not.
I really liked Walk Away. It's in my top 10. I really like that song. Just because it's nice, again, we said there's not a lot of great Vanessa Hudgens on her own in this, and I think they actually nailed it. But there are two songs in this where I know you go crazy for, and I do as well. I think Scream is great.
Scream is amazing.
Yeah, when he's running around just shouting stuff with basketball, and the boys are back.
And I Want It All.
With those two mentions, I list the three songs I have from this in my top 10? I've got at number one, I have "The Boys Are Back" because it's the coolest thing ever. Yeah. It's just like, and the video for that as well, like them just dashing around the junkyard and then their kids and then the two men again and they're fighting ninjas and they're fighting a giant robot. It's like, what?
I've also thought there's another reason why I really appreciated this film is that at this point, what? Zac Efron was old. Not old, but too old.
He was like in his 80s.
No, but he was too old to be doing High School Musical, wasn't he? And I just there was something about me going, appreciate, at least they're still putting effort into it.
Yeah.
Like you can tell,
and Zac Efron,
the amount of effort they put into these films, it's like they don't have to. They can say, I'm not coming back for this one.
My number top 10 is Scream, because it's just so good. It's Troy's best, should I go football or... singing and song of the whole trilogy, and like the music video for this is wild. Like,
yeah,
he's being pelted by footballs. He's screaming in the darkness. Got the spinning hallway that Inception stole from him. It's great. And then at number five, so that's three in my top five from this film. I've got "I Want It All." So it's just great. It's like it's the best. It's again, I think it's the best Sharpay Ryan song of the whole thing. And
I think it
makes sense following on from the second film. Because by the end of the second film, Ryan is he's not like pro Sharpay anymore. They've fallen out. And this is the song of Sharpay like tricking him back in. And it's like, Ryan, no! And then they set up that weird potential romance between Ryan and Kelsey, which doesn't work for so many reasons.
I never saw that as a romance anyways, but you know, I just didn't see it as that. I've got five songs from this film in my top. I've got Scream, The Boys Are Back, I've got Just Want to Be With You, and I got Walk Away. Oh, that's only four. I can't count. That's four. I got Just Want to Be With You as well. I just like the quieter ones sometimes, where particularly when you listen on the soundtrack. I think it's just taste of music when it comes to a lot of these.
Especially considering how consistent they are. It's all.
I mostly don't like the quiet ones that much. as you can probably get from my top 10.
Here's the thing, right?
So I actually have two. I only have two of those on my top 10, which is I Want It All and Scream. And then just a special mention for Just Be With You. But yeah, I like the ones with Energy.
I will admit it should be seven songs because I did have the Senior School Musical on there. But as it's a combination of other songs, I thought, no, yeah. I won't put
I really
it on
like
there.
It because...
And I put the High School Musical song at the end of it just because it's great fun.
Oh,
but
so
I took it off because
well.
I'm like, it's not as good as Breaking Free. But it could have been seven songs on there quite easily.
High School Musical 3 is the best actual like performances by the cast as well.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I think they all, especially Vanessa Hudgens, obviously.
And Zac Efron.
I think they all handle like the finale feeling of it very well. Like the whole time, you feel like you're watching a finale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which for some reason is the vibe that 15 episodes of the series went for.
Yeah. Shall we stop delaying?
Yeah.
The inevitable.
How the hell are we going to talk about this?
Okay, so... So everybody, like, we are serious. We like this show.
Yeah. And we're going to go full spoilers.
Yeah, full
spoilers. Because my opinions on these characters, like, swung massively, like, episode to episode.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That was what was so great about it, is that in school, you're a different person on Friday as you were on Monday. Just how it is. And you've got to remember, these two seasons happen. So we reached Beauty and the Beast, right? We've only been with these characters maybe about 6 months in total. They've done two shows. They've done one in the fall and they've done one in the spring. So we've only met these characters for about 6 months. And the amount of change they go through just by being together is incredible. And I think that's the most important thing about this show, is that it is, there are some great songs, don't get me wrong. And a lot of these songs are a lot better than the ones for me in the films. But it's very character driven, and there are characters that I don't like, but I don't like them because they're not nice. In the way that it's the way that Sammy doesn't like Shirley. Like, he doesn't like Shirley. He just doesn't like Shirley. I don't like Miss Jen, but the rest of them, I think they're great.
I do like Miss Jen in this, because I think season one, I like that she's clearly like very close to unhinged.
Oh yeah!
She's that one thing going wrong with this musical away from losing it entirely, and then that happens early on in season two. And in season two, she's just losing it.
And
she's
in the finale,
a full Joker
there is a,
arc. She's Miss
there is
Joker.
A genuine moment in this finale where Carlos and Seb pass her and go, "Are you all right?" And I would not have been surprised if she turned around and like killed, shot them or something.
There's an episode like three or four episodes from the end of season two. Because when we're recording this, that's all that's out. There's an episode three or four episodes away from the end of season two where Miss Jen is in her office the whole episode, and it's just characters coming in and out and talking to her, and she's just like on the edge. She's like about to go.
Okay.
It's a time bomb.
So
is that the best way to do this show? Should we go?
No, I think let's start. Yeah. I want to do the Suicide Squad way.
Yeah. Okay. Right, I guess we're on Miss Jen. Like, yeah. I love that, like, she has no credentials to be a drama teacher, and it shows. She doesn't do any of the work for the show.
It's mostly like Carlos does a lot, and
this is so much Gina.
Gina.
Well, do you think like do you think she's ever taught a class there? Like, what do you think she's actually like as a teacher? Because she's not qualified to be a teacher.
What you have to remember is that the kids love her.
Yeah,
like,
one plot line.
And because it's drama, it's the lesson you turn up and do nothing in. Like,
oh, I wish we had drama classes in my school.
Oh, we did, and it was not this.
No, oh, okay.
It was getting changed for quarter hour, doing some Shakespeare or Blood Brothers.
I spent three months making an A4 like tapestry of the seven deadly sins, and I submitted that, and they were like, congrats, that's your drama.
But that's another thing. Again, I said I did Les Mis in school. I've done two school musicals. I can honestly say, for like that 3 months when you do it, you get fucking close to people because you're there every day singing with them, and it's like, it's not that you're just there convening, you're actually like, you're creating art. Yeah, do you know what I mean? You're creating something that's really good and you're building up to it.
And oh, you get to no, that final I would never do musical theatre. Wouldn't enjoy it. Then watching this show made me go, oh, I want to do some musical.
Yeah, because you get close to people. And then you get that bit where you all harmonise and it's like, bloody hell, I didn't know I could do that. And you can do it with other people.
I always love being in the choir.
Yeah, choirs are fun as well.
So cool. And then like choir camps and stuff. Yeah. Cool.
I'm just trying to write that. What's the name of the teacher? The
robotics
AV
teacher?
Guy. The AV guy. What's his name? Mr. Something or other.
Mazara.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
The correct choice for a Miss Jen relationship.
Yes.
I like the fact that there are some great Easter eggs with Miss Jen scattered around. The actress that plays her
she's a musical theater actress,
yeah, Katie Reinders. Like, there's a lot of references to Glenda the Witch,
yeah,
who she's played in on Broadway.
She's 100% a Glenda, like, oh
yeah. I mean, I remember I was listening to Wicked and it was the one with from 2003, the original broadcast. I was listening to whoever was singing, I was like, oh my god, is that Miss Jen? And yeah, you can hear it in her. Yeah. She's played Glinda as well before.
She plays it so well. She's just so good at playing totally unhinged drama teacher, losing it at students.
But she's like, she always reminded me of she's the dean in the way, isn't she? Where she comes in and she sets the study group, or she sets the people like a task. Oh my God, there's a crisis. You have to solve it. And they go off and solve it. I
think that she's the one that set the overall task of this show. Because we made it very clear to each other when watching it that this show, although it's trying to be a mockumentary, just doesn't make sense. Like, camera angles change all the time. You should see the camera angles, they don't make it. So we decided like very early on that they're all playing a game where they're pretending they're in a mockumentary, and that's why they just occasionally go off to talking heads. Ricky jims the camera so much. So like, we assume they're playing a game, like pretend to be a mockumentary. And I can imagine that like Miss Jen, when she came into her first day of like teaching drama class, she said to them all, okay, your assignment for the full year is that you are in a documentary. And I want you all to act like it.
But don't they do it before? We'd have to analyze it now. Does it happen before?
Well, they are doing it from the get-go, but the first is Miss Jen, I think, if I remember it rightly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she said this. I think she emailed all the teachers before, all the parents, and said, I'm going to be your kid's new drama teacher this year. I want them all to know that an assignment for the whole year from me, from the second they get to school, is, yeah, you're in a mockumentary, even when you're at home.
Even when you're at home. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Is Miss Jen at the bottom of your ranking, Rhys?
She is now. She is now.
Let me get my character ranking.
It's not that I don't like her. It's just she just took away the focus from the kids. And I was watching it going, I want the focus. I particularly with like the competitive, and it went into a past of like, oh, she's got this competitive drama teacher at North High. I just wanted them to focus on the kids, and because the stuff with their relationships was really well written. And it like, and you can
every kid,
you can mock the
Ninny
and Ricky stuff, and like, I know there was stuff going off behind camera which has an effect, but you know teen relationships I don't know this from experience. I can only say this from watching, is that they're shit. You know, team relationships are f***ing awful. They have nobody has any idea what they're doing.
I don't think any of us have experienced it.
No, but it's just, but I'm watching from afar. And it's like Miss Jen, I don't care what she has to do, because I'm too invested in the people that should get all the screen time, if that makes sense.
I have Miss Jen at 7 out of 12. My ranking is only... Is that 12? Or is my thing done that thing where it just adds a number by itself? And then, no, yeah. I have her at 7 out of 12 because I just love how unhinged she is. I love that she is losing it all the time.
Should we briefly mention the other teacher?
Well, Mr. Mazara. I have
Mr. Mazara
as well.
Yeah, I think he
just. I was
going to
say, should we just work up your ranking?
My ranking?
Yeah, I don't have a ranking.
I'd have to get it up.
I suppose we can work up mine from the bottom, but just. I'll say Miss Jen's at 7 when we get there.
Yeah.
Because it's just a handy list.
Should at we just the bottom, start with Mr. Bizarro?
Okay, Mr. Bizarro, I've got him at 11 because I didn't like him in season 1. Yeah, we'll start with Mr. Bizarro because he's another teacher. I need to move him up because I grew to really like him in season 2. I think his like relationship with EJ was really good. Mm-hmm. I think I loved it. Like, and there was a moment where we reached season 2 and it's the penultimate episode and he does the previously. And we all like got really excited. Whoa. He's joining in the game.
Well, it's how he does the same thing, doesn't he?
Yeah, because like, it's like it's his arc of like he's finally joining in. And he starts as such a hard ass. Like he's horrible at the start. But he's one of three characters in this who in episode 1 and 2, you're like, I don't like these characters at all. Then by the end of 2, you're like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And every time
he definitely improved,
more now.
I think it's always a testament to any series where like you're conscious with a TV show that you don't know if you're gonna get season 2, but if you are confident, like, because Disney definitely backed this show, they were confident that they were gonna get more out of this anyway, and so they even characters like Big Red went to the back a bit. Seb hasn't had a lot. Gina was a big focus in the start of season 1, but by the end of season 2, like, she was in and out a little bit. Courtney's another one. Like the first two, the first season was focused on Ricky, Nene, and EJ,
But then, like, and Miss Jen. The rest of them are in a
and then they shift
very much sort of
and then it's
and
like,
out a
because
lot.
Because they have time, because they realize, oh my God, look how bloody talented all the people we have are here. They gave time for each of the characters to develop after. It's very much like, if I may bring it, it's very much like Generation 1 Transformers, where the first season is very.
I thought you were going to say Star Trek or something. Transformers not better, so
yeah. Where the first season is very methodical. The Decepticons attack. They run away when the Autobots destroy that. Would beat them. Season 2 was very character focused because they wanted to sell you specific toys. But you know, it's kind of like that, in my opinion. But again, character focused.
The turning point for Mr. Mazzara for me is he progresses through season 1 quite a lot, and I think he's turning around a lot by the time him and Miss Jen bang in the drama class and then burn the school down.
Set on fire.
That's his turning point.
that's his legacy. That's
his turning point. I think Mikey like, Bowen the full can never turning do that. Point for me is where he steps up at the end to help Big Red do the AV for the show. Because Big Red, although he's a legend, he never really knows what he's doing. So, yeah. Like, he's totally messing up there. I love him coming in to help just because it's like the nice thing to do.
Yeah.
He can make a darn good music video though, as we know.
He can.
Big Red,
he certainly can.
No, but you're like Mr. Bizarro saves it. And it's not as if like he's sprung upon us as well. The stuff like that he wants to do like a PhD or something in
robotics.
It's like it's not like shoved down our throats. Oh, this is what's going to happen. This is what he wants. So it's sort of like it's folded in there as time goes on. And I wonder if he's going to be in like season 3 and season 4. Whether it maybe it's another avenue.
No,
to
I think
explore
we will
different
hit...
campuses.
I think knows? The from season 3 onwards, we're going to start getting a very revolving door cast. Yeah. Seeing as these kids can't stay here forever, and some of them are already
that's
in.
True. Well,
EJ is
going to be gone.
Are going to start revolving
but he'll,
in and out at
he'll,
this point.
Yeah,
he'll still but, have scenes.
Well, he's related to Ashlyn, and
that's true.
Stuff with Gina's going off. Going up with Gina, 7 years he's younger.
Very bottom of my ranking, I have a character. I think you two are going to have a hard time disagreeing.
You're
going to
say
they belong there. Aww, no, at the bottom,
Lily,
because she makes me sick.
Doesn't count. Doesn't count. Makes
absolutely
me sick.
Sick.
No.
Absolutely counts.
No. Mike.
Yeah.
Do you not understand? Mike? Do you not understand how pantomimes work? You have to have a character to boo, and without fail, if
the
High School
Musical, the musical,
screen,
the series isn't a pantomime.
It is a pantomime. What are you on about?
She's perfectly written in the
pantomime.
Way that every single thing she does, you are literally booing at the screen.
You need a bit. When she comes in to apologize at the end, oh, let's make up. We all went, no,
Ricky, don't buy it.
But then Ricky's going to dip into her. Oh, that sounds awful.
Jesus Christ, Reese.
This is our first. This is our first Jesus over Christ. 18 or over 16 podcast episode of this High School Musical.
I think the actress plays her so well. She plays her as like just just the worst. Oh, like, yeah, every time she's on screen, she's doing something despicable.
It's not Dove Cameron, is it? No, but that's she's from Descendants, isn't she? No, yeah, it's Dove not Cameron's her.
When she's not doing something despicable, she has this smile on her face.
But it's like, you know, that like it's leading to her doing yeah. something despicable.
Well, it's her, it's Howie, it's the French guy. They're absolutely going to be... Because see, I thought
Rose Keegan.
I thought where season two was going to go particularly when Ricky injures himself in the penultimate. I thought they were going to like sort of merge, and it's going to be let's put the competition aside. I know that didn't happen, but it's like I did quite like the French kid. I thought it was quite funny that he's clearly not funny. French.
Yeah,
and I wonder, and again, I wonder if that will be like a running joke. Whereas it turns out in the end, he's not actually French.
I love that Lily gets like the most pantomime villain moment of the whole show as well. And it's the end of episode two of season two, when she's on the phone to like the guy running the other school about the fact that they're doing Beauty and the Beast now, so they need to switch. And she goes, she phones the school and they're like, "And what department would you like to speak to?" And she looks at the camera and goes, "Drama."
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, so right. Who you got next?
11, I got Mr. Mazzara, but I think he's going to move up at some point.
What a cool name.
10, yeah, it's a great name. 10, I've Courtney, because I just don't think they, out of all the main characters, she's the one that's never really given anything to do.
Do you know the thing which gives me a lot of marks with the Courtney? Yeah, it is the songs.
Yeah, and she's great in the music.
There is a moment in Be Our Guest where she does come on the stage and she takes over as the teapot, and, as Angela Lansbury. Mm-hmm. And there is a moment when Howie goes, oh, and I was literally myself. Yeah. So I do like, she's
too
also,
much for Howie.
Friendship with Nini is really good as well. Like every time those two have a scene together, they're great.
Especially in season one as well.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I watched this with you guys, because I missed it the first couple of weeks, because I'd had enough of Wednesday films for a little bit and I was really busy. I had to take a little break.
Yeah, sometimes you need that.
But like the first one I watched with you guys was the one with Born to be Brave, where they go bowling, don't they? And then they dance outside, and then it's teamed with the prom. And it's like, she starts that song and she's incredible in it. Mm-hmm. I do like the stuff with Howie, like come into it. I know you guys find Howie a bit boring, but I do like it.
I think the fact that she's one of the most mind-blowing moments of season two is the twist at the end of that episode when she phones Howie and the phone rings and she turns around and the other school's beast is there, like mask comes off.
Yeah.
But I just don't think they did much more with it after that. Like,
well,
it didn't
really
affect
their
relationship at all.
There's loads of time for it. It's fine.
True. And I think they will be I think season three will be the two schools merging to make like a big musical. Yeah. Because
Frozen.
Lily's like the perfect Elsa.
They go to camp, right?
No.
I think they will merge, and I think those two are like clearly the ones that are going to make it happen. But I think
Lily's a perfect Hans.
Yeah,
that's good. You know, though, even though he's too nice now. They never like out of the main story stuff. She's rarely involved. She feels like a supporting character, despite like clearly.
Yeah,
not
it is
to.
A shame. Yeah. She's not the only one. I feel that
she's not a bad character.
I feel that
none of them
suffers in the same way.
Whereas he's
you've
next,
got, and it's because you've got like a show full of like personalities. You've got characters like, you know, the drama with Ricky and Nini, and you've got Carlos, who is just a force of nature. EJ, the absolutely hysterical comic grief, and then you've got like Ashlyn, Ashlyn's a sort of powerhouse like character for me, where like I think that the show, the success of the show or my interest in the show will rely on how they continue to include her in it along with Big Red. Courtney and
like,
Seb suffer for that.
Despite
having some absolutely standout moments.
Seb's next on my list. I think season one, despite being Sharpay, he's like such a side character.
No. He's the only one in season one who isn't listed as a main character. He's a recurring character.
And in season two, he gets promoted to main. And for the first like few episodes, he's great. Like his relationship with Carlos is fantastic. And at least probably the most powerful moment of the season.
Oh,
the climb. When like he rolls in the piano at the party and does
anybody expecting
the climb, and
Miley
it's just
Cyrus?
Incredible. And that's the moment. That was the first moment of the whole show where I went, "Oh, this is Disney."
Yeah.
It's like I just didn't expect the climb.
No, I agree
with
you.
But then like the last two episodes, once Carlos and Seb have made up with that song, I think all of that stuff's good, but I just got annoyed by the middle of the season where they clearly didn't know what to do with those two.
No, it was
They just had them toxic all season, and it was just like driving me nuts.
Because the argument was that Carlos went on holiday and Seb didn't go with him, and Carlos is hanging around with other, like,
Even before they just kept arguing. And it's like, it felt disappointing for Disney, like, to have one of their first, like, really prominent gay couples in one of their things. And to have them be so well written for a bit and then just have them turn
and
into
drop
the couple that argues all the time.
Yeah. Mm. But that was like, they actively went out of their way to make the entire season so as miserable as possible.
I loved how miserable season two was. I love there wasn't a single break in it.
What,
like,
I will
was
say
a
about
happy moment.
What I think puts Seb just above Courtney for me is that he does have some ridiculously great one-liners. He gets all the little one-liners, and the best one for me is when we were sat there when they were doing the mob song. How are they going to tell who wins? And he goes, maybe we should have come up with a point system. He's just a really funny person. And his character is full of charisma, you know, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a fantastic Sharpay.
He is a fantastic Sharpay.
He's really good in Sticks and Say It's Quail.
And he's just, and I know we can say this for literally every member of this cast, but he's an incredible singer. Like, he's so talented.
Yeah. Who's next?
I think you guys are going to disagree with this placement. I have Carlos next. I do love Carlos, but I think he's the opposite of Courtney and Seb, where he doesn't have too little to do. I think, like, there's so many different aspects I'm trying to put on Carlos that I don't think any of it feels fleshed out enough. Because in season one, he's very much like, he's the choreographer of the group. But because of that, I feel like he doesn't really feel like that much of a friend to the others. And he doesn't get to join in the music as much as he should have.
Yeah, he sort of feels like, what are they called in school where you have like a badge? What's it called? Prefect.
He feels like a prefect. He never gets time with the others.
But then when he does, it's really
great.
Good.
Yeah.
He has moments with, obviously, Seb. He has a great moment with Rick, really good moment with Ricky in season two. He has a really good bit in the old theater with EJ.
Oh,
that's
fantastic.
And for me, that's the turning point for EJ.
Yeah.
His talk
but
with,
like,
Carlos.
I think season two is a big step up for Carlos. Like I said, his relationship with Seb for like the start and end of the season is great. And his position as choreographer is better.
Yeah.
Like,
and he's
very much being done as the position of like he's friends with the others and he gets to join in.
Yeah.
And his part in that, like when they're doing the show, when he's just like freaking out.
but then he goes on stage and is amazing.
He's doing the proper like Troy Barnes meeting LeVar Burton
before. And I think Frankie Rodriguez is I think he's definitely the most energetic member of cast member for me. I think I enjoy, apart from EJ, his performance the most out of everyone. And like when they do cut to him, I'm really excited because, like you said, there are a lot of moments where he gets a lot to do. He's a very busy character.
So many like small moments where he just really shines.
And he's great with Seb. I think it's just proof of like,
we're like still in like, we're just entering the lower third of my ranking and we're already on characters that I'd say are pretty great characters overall.
I'm going to ask you this at the end again, but maybe think about this more. Would any of these characters break your top 100? I wonder.
Two,
maybe not yet.
Two, maybe three that I'll consider if there's another two seasons as strong as these two.
Okay, yeah.
And I've got to note they're consistent because some of the character work in the show is inconsistent. Like characters do change and in natural ways. Like they're never like changes that feel unnatural. But I'd want them to like at least stay being the same characters. Miss Jen's next at 7. We've spoken about her. Next, I've got Nina, who was in season one very high up.
Yeah.
But I think in season two, they really struggle to know what to do with her. Because, in my opinion, and it really helps that she's Olivia Rodrigo. She has all the best songs in the show.
Can I put one?
She's all the songs that sound an Olivia Rodrigo song.
Her main problem is the big asterisk of the last 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. And you can feel it in season two because the first half of the very much she's off at boarding school, but she doesn't like it. She wants to be back with her friends. She wants to be back.
Yeah,
with
because
Ricky.
It's a cult.
It is a cult.
And she moves back, and it's very clear they're going in a direction.
No.
And then they drop it. Like
no, they can't.
They abandon it and switch it another way. And they clearly had to rewrite it halfway through.
Yeah, I imagine. Like, I imagine they're
like I imagine that they tied on it, but her character does suffer for it.
Yeah,
for the second half of season two, you're like, I'm not really sure what she's doing. I think it recovers a bit. I like when she like starts the new Instagram account and changes her name. She's gonna like, I'm making the goal to become more independent.
That goes nowhere.
But it was near the end of the season, so we're getting more. But it feels like she went from like main character for 15 episodes and then dropped to like the mildest supporting character for the last.
She plays a fork. She plays a fork.
Yeah, like she's barely even in the thing. And I was very worried with that like maybe Olivia Rodrigo was just done with the show now. But then they actually come back for season three.
Well, so. As I said, I don't think they could justify sustaining her plotline, as in having a completely like separate cast during the circumstances we are in.
I have a strong feeling that's
why they had to abandon that.
True.
Because like, and that also ties in with a lot of her and Ricky stuff. It's clear they were going for a strained, distant relationship, and like it was starting to crack. I get it. Oh, they're apart, so they grow apart. And then even that second chance bit. So I think the second chance song would have made a lot more sense if like they'd been apart from each other and they made a bad decision, and then once they're together again, they think it's the wrong decision. But when they get back together and they're close together and then they start falling apart and they become strained, it feels the wrong way around. Yeah.
I think that what they need to do to like fix her in season three, because again, she was like top three of my ranking season one, and season two, she just gradually fell down. What they need to do to fix her in season three is just move her away from Ricky now, because that story is so played out now.
Yeah.
And they need to start like pairing her with Ashlyn and Courtney more.
Again.
She's always great with those two.
Definitely.
Yeah. And EJ.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, God. Do you remember when EJ stole her phone?
I don't like what
through a text.
No.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Just give her a ukulele and let her do a thing.
Let her do an Olivia Rodrigo song.
So many of her songs are just, I'm just going to do an Olivia Rodrigo thing.
Next is, I've got Ricky at number five. I think Joshua Bassett is really charming in this show.
I'm so prepared.
There is a moment, the finale of season two, where Nene calls Ricky Richard, and it's just like you can feel the tension.
Yeah.
Like, and we were all sat like, ooh. Yeah.
We were all prepared at the very beginning to be like, every time Joshua Bassett is on screen, we're going to boo him. That lasted one episode.
He's really nice.
That's the thing. I am so ready on rewatches for it's even like right now, Ricky in my mind is like moving up, just that the more I think about him, just because like he has such a positive impact on everyone. He's sometimes part of some songs. I'll give him that. But
he's also like got one really good solo in season two.
And especially with Nene away, like he is the main character.
And I think he's I'd say that.
And he holds it together.
Main character of the show. And you compare him with any character and it works. Because he's got loads of stuff with Gina. He's got loads of stuff with Carlos. Big Red, obviously he gets loads.
But also he's got the stuff at home. He's probably the only character with a really strong family aspect to it. Like, I like his dad and his mother stuff. That's quite fun. The fact he lives in Troy Bolton's house.
Yeah, which is, like, doesn't know.
Is nuts. And he's literally sitting in the same treehouse. Like, look at it. Your dad didn't build that.
And he doesn't Troy know. Bolton's he doesn't know that he lives that. There.
His song's his solo songs do grow on me a little bit. And the way he interacts with everybody, he's a true main character. Yeah. He's Jeff Winger.
He's also so believably a cringy teenage boy.
Yeah.
Like everything he does. Yeah. Like when he learns Bet on It in like the first episode of season two, and he just won't stop singing it all the time.
But he's just like, but his Bet on It is better than Zac Efron's.
No.
When he does in the basement with Big Red, it's fantastic. Mm.
There is no CGI Joshua Bassett just showing up and
no, we just get Big Red instead. Like, what are you complaining about? Yeah, Joshua Bassett. I love the fact that we very rarely refer to him as Ricky. We're all just like Joshua Bassett.
Because we all knew about Joshua Bassett before we watched the show.
I say that's something as well. I'm going to admit this now. I had no idea who Joshua Bassett was or even Olivia Rodrigo was before we started. No idea. My musical knowledge and I don't know anything about like modern music. Had no idea who she was or this guy was. And you're like, oh, they have drama behind scenes. I'm like, yeah, but I know they really do. And Sour's really good. I've listened to Sour. Of course, I've listened to Sour.
Which is, and it's probably telling that my three favorite songs on the High School Musical: The Series soundtrack sound like they're from Sour.
As we're talking about Nini, can I? I'm going to do a quick quiz question.
Okay.
Mike, Melanie, what is Nini's full name?
Nina.
No,
I have no idea.
Nina Rodrigo.
Would it help to say that it's double barreled?
What does double barreled mean?
It's two of them.
Yeah, I can't get Nini Rodrigo out of my.
Would it help if it sort of shared the name with one of the titles of one of the Pirates of the Caribbean films?
Nini Dead Man's Rodrigo.
No, it's
Salazar.
Yeah.
I assume that her names come from one of each of her mums.
I don't know
what her mums are called.
Nini Salazar Roberts.
Oh. Rodrigo.
Rodrigo.
All right. Of course I don't know her name.
Nini.
Why would I? Nini.
Although I did find it, I thought that someone referred to Miss Jen as Jennifer in one of the episodes.
Jennifer so Chen.
I think Jen is her first name.
Okay.
Oh.
But she refers to herself as Miss Jen.
I am, and we've already spoken about my next character a bit. At number four, I've got Ashlyn.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
You said, she's just always the same thing as I'd say for Ricky. You compare her with any character, and it works. Yeah. Like, even when we hated EJ, when he was with Ashlyn, like it was his best scenes.
Yeah, and also her as Belle, best decision ever.
Fantastic! Like, because we all assumed it would be Olivia Rodrigo, but then obviously she wasn't there. Then when they like read the cast list and she's Belle,
you think
like,
it's just, Lily.
It's just such like a great scene.
Yeah,
oh, so good.
And then like Miss Jen like savagely putting down Lily afterwards, like, but you laughed at someone who was struggling, so screw you.
But then, she's the turning point in the show for me. She's the first turning point.
Episode two.
The first episode is a cringe fest, and EJ's a twat, and everyone's not quite there. And you get the nice ukulele duet, but wondering.
Yeah.
Wondering.
And I was really worried that Ashlyn was going to be like the Kelsey character, who was like, you're obviously one of the best characters. Why aren't they giving you screen time? And that's the second I saw Wondering. I was like, okay, she's written a piano song and now one of the other characters is performing it. I've seen it all before. Then she turns into one of the show's main and best characters.
Yeah.
And has the best. There's a lot of relationships in this show.
She has the
easily
best.
In the
she
best
has
one.
Like, the best relationship. Oh.
And she's really funny.
Yeah, she's hilarious.
And
she's
really real.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
She's just genuine.
She's just fantastic. Every time... They say, like, they get on that stage and they're like, okay, now Ashlyn's going to do a song. You know it's going to be, like, fantastic.
Fantastic.
Because,
yeah.
You know, my precursor to this show, the closest precursor for me to this show, was Glee.
Not a show musical?
No, that's not a show, is it? But, no, this is Glee, innit? This show is Glee, basically.
Don't say that.
No, but the closest thing I can remember.
I haven't seen Glee, but I assume this is better.
Well, because I was forced to watch Glee as a child. My sister would put
Glee
it on.
Glee is problematic, AF.
No, but when you're that young and you watch it every day and you don't think
about
this.
I don't understand Glee. I don't get the
feel
at all.
But it's like, who was the main character? Like, the main character was so, like you said, they were awful people. They're awful people. Whereas you turn to this and you're like, I instantly want to back everyone I see. And I've already said this.
And even the characters
Ashlyn,
who aren't wholesome
Ashlyn
get wholesome
is
very quickly.
Ashlyn is the antithesis of everything Glee is. She's the heart. She's like, the fact she's EJ's cousin is a really, like, really good thing for her character because it gives her a lot of, like, oh, I've got an insight into this. And she's always like mixing the trouble as well. She's always there somehow, even though it's nothing to do with her. And yeah, she's Belle in the second season. And I think her version of Home is better than the one we get in the film. And, you know, it really upsets me when I'm on Spotify and it mixes me songs and it pushes me out a song from The Beauty and the Beast from about 5 years ago. The auto-tuned
film.
Crap.
This is better.
No. I don't care about the film. The auto-tuned, computer-generated voice crap we get all throughout the soundtrack. Nope. Recommend me this. In fact, take that film, remove Emma Watson, do a Tig Notaro, put Julie Lester in it.
The only live-action remake of a Disney film I want is I just want them to just do this, like, show us this version of Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. With just EJ's show us on,
the but full I want, you know performance. How
they've got, like, the four-hour Hamilton on Disney Plus. Yeah. I want as, like, in the, like, extras and trailers section for this show.
A
I want just,
show.
Like, the four-hour musicals for them.
Yeah, I just want
Beauty
and the
Beast.
Because
it really annoys me that we just don't see their Beauty and the Beast. We get halfway through. And
yeah, we do see it. We do see it throughout.
I want High School Musical, the musical, the series, Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Who's next?
Gina, who is a character. If you told me in the first two episodes that she would be this high up, I wouldn't believe you. Because that's very early on when the main characters are very strictly Nini and Ricky. And Nini is like super anti-Gina. Like, Gina wants to be Gabriella. Nini thinks she's stealing from her.
Yeah.
And all of that. They don't get along. Gina's being set up as the villain. And you're like, ooh, a villain. And then by the end of season one, she's just so nice.
Yeah. But
I think, and it's, again, but, testament to Ricky, the turning point is when they start teasing a relationship between her and Ricky, is when she starts turning around. Because that's when, like, she gets promoted to main character.
Mm-hmm.
There are three things, Gina, though. One, what the hell is she wearing in the
Beauty and the Beast?
In
the
Beast.
Jeez.
It's like a feather duster or something.
It's not what you wear to a date, I can tell you that.
Two, the suicide song.
God. Suicide episode.
We should explain episode. That. There's an episode in season two.
A dancer's heart. God.
The Carlos's quinceañero. Where the whole episode, she's like going around and saying a really emotional goodbye to everyone.
Yeah.
But they haven't explained where she's going. And she's really sad about it.
Yeah.
And everyone was really sad all throughout. And then like EJ gives her this like really like friendly speech. And it like clearly cheers her up. And then she doesn't go anywhere. So you're like, okay.
Uh-oh.
So she wasn't going anywhere. And then in like the end, in one of the last episodes, she says to EJ, like, I really appreciate you. You literally saved me. And it's like, hold on.
I mean, she was going to move. Like, the fact why she was saying goodbyes was, I think it came out that at the very end that she was going to move somewhere.
Okay.
But you saved me.
And the
very...
third thing is, she's responsible for bringing John Ambrose into the High School
Musical Jordan
Fisher, musical series.
Every time I think I'm turning around on Jordan Fisher, he shows up and ruins it all again. I watch Hamilton and I think, oh, I understand he was in the stage show. That must have been fun. I watch The Flash and I'm like, oh, he's one of the redeeming features of season seven. But then he shows up as John Ambrose and he is a To All the Boys film. He shows up in this and he tries to split EJ and Gina. He shows up in Teen Beach and tanks it. Jordan Fisher, every time I want to like do something like this. Jesus Christ.
There's also no motivation behind him trying to.
He shows up. We've never heard of him. He shows up out of the blue. He has no idea about them. He lies to EJ and then he leaves.
Yeah.
Don't forget, though, he's not the only big star who shows up to interact with Gina. Because Billy Batson shows up
Billy
for
Batson.
An episode. Shazam is in it.
In the airport. And I like the fact that he's probably the one filming the Ain't Seen Nothing bits of her.
And he's like, and they never like, bring him in as a way to say like, oh, we're using this to split Gina and EJ and cause tension. He just shows up to be a pal at the airport and just like have a good time.
Yeah.
The thing is with Gina is that there was always a good tension about her character because you know that like Gabriella, she's flaky about, she's moved a lot.
Yeah.
She's never found a home. So she is actually the natural Gabriella going into it. And there's a little tension, like, is she going to be there at the end of the season? And then of course EJ buys a ticket back. And so she's actually in that final she's actually in the final
when she
show.
Shows up to the performance at the end of season one
and sticks to status quo again she does the choreography for that and then she does, I like
consistent
the bits with her and Carlos
well.
Where they like keep on like stepping on their toes with the choreography and then you actually see you be our guest and it's absolutely phenomenal
and like her and the consistency of her art is so well done.
Yeah,
it's like hero, villain to family arc could be like too like forced, but it's so well done. She's Vegina. Family. And then like her and
that's
what the show needed. Like
yeah, like the bits, and then when she gets like the box of chocolates and texts Ricky, you're like, oh, I see that. Yeah,
makes sense. Nina finds out, and she's like,
my mum does nothing about it.
My mum bought me a box of chocolates. I thought it was Ricky, and Nina was like, why didn't I know about this? Like,
yeah,
because then because it's not a story. Yeah, it's not an event.
Yeah. They can also see like a teenager Nini, you know, getting that angry. No, they're teenagers. Yeah,
it all makes sense, but it's just funny.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't I know about this? Because you weren't involved at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with you.
But as a team, everything is supposed to involve you.
Yeah. Gina. Who's the next one?
Go on to the two that I know we'll be dying to talk
about. I want
to
go through our top songs as well.
Number two is EJ, which is the biggest swing I've ever had.
What?
In season one, he was at the bottom.
Yeah.
In season two, he's number two. He's season one when he's dating Nini, and just and after they split up, he's hacking her phone and stuff. He's such a dick.
Awful. Mm-hmm.
Then, like, end of season two, and you said it, Reese, his conversation with Carlos in the theater. Where he starts to turn around. And then you get like sad boy EJ for a bit, where they're like, EJ, you're wearing all black. And he's like, has it kind of just happened? Or like he grows a beard and he's like, I just guess I forgot to shave today. It's just like you get sad boy. And then like when he moves past that and realizes that like he's actually really good friends with everyone here, he just becomes like
relief.
Some of the best comic relief I've ever seen. And then he moves past that and becomes like a main character again.
Yeah.
And for the last half of the season, he's just like, like what we said for Ricky, where he's just interacting with different characters and like boosting all of them.
Yeah.
And like him and Gina together are just fantastic. Risotto. Yeah.
And he's Gaston.
And he's Gaston. Day.
He's
just
amazing
perfect.
As Gaston.
Just perfect.
So good as
and, like,
Gaston.
Yeah. And it's
and
like
he's roughly the
how
size
much
of
I hated
blood.
Him in season one. Just yeah. Season two, EJ is just a fantastic character.
Yeah. And also pretty natural
and
development in him
yeah.
as well.
And it never felt it never felt rough.
Could you remember I used to boo EJ when he's on screen? I used to do what I do with Lily, I used to do with EJ, and I've stopped it now.
And
the,
I think
the thing
that
is that I really
I
didn't
re-watch...
like I don't like A Billion Sorries. I think it's the worst
song
of the show. But I mean they sort of established that in the show.
By that point in the show, you're still anti EJ, and he gets the only song of that episode. The episode after Wondering, and you're like, I think
he sings that, and Ashlyn is like,
Yeah, Ashlyn's like, no, I wouldn't sing that to Nini.
Yeah, you're right. EJ's just do you know like, what happens with a lot of shows is that it's like your favorite characters never usually end up being the main like the main characters. There's always like a side character who gets a lot more like depth and nuance than they deserve. And I'd say that EJ after season one doesn't deserve to get like forgiven because he's not a very nice person at all.
I think,
but then you see like the pressure with him is that he's a year older than everyone else as well, and he's like he's meant to be the drama boy. He was meant to be Troy. He was meant and it was his final year in school and it was sort of taken from him, and then he learns to accept to become friends with these people again. It's only over a 6 month period, don't forget that, and it's so believable that he still has a lot of tension. And
I think the whole last part, just to
compliment the final episode, it would have been so easy for them to leave Gina and EJ together. I think it's really brave of it for them to split them up in a way to say, let's do the friend thing and let's not go there because we don't need to. I think that was a very brave decision. I think it really complements the growth that EJ's gone through.
Yeah. And I think he gets my favorite quote of the whole finale of season two, which is, I played a lot of sports and I've won a lot of trophies, but I would trade every single one of them for more time with this group here.
No.
Oh, well.
I think I shed a little tear when he said that.
Like, because when he stood up and went, I've played a lot of sports, I've won a lot of trophies, we were like, oh, EJ, don't
EJ. Know
the guy. And then like one sentence later, we're like, EJ, EJ,
EJ.
And you said it, just perfect Gaston.
And he is ripped.
And I love one of the best line deliveries of this show, when Courtney's like, oh, I made your Gaston outfit, I've added abs. And he's like, I have abs.
Right, should we talk about the best character?
Number one.
Big Red.
He's my number two, but
one on my list from episode one. just something about him was great. And I love it in season one. Yeah, Mike, he's like, I don't
Mike,
do the...
No, Mike, I know why he's your favourite. Because he's the Arbed. He's the Arbed of this. He's the meta character, sometimes in the background, helping others be better.
I love... And he... But he also represents the arc of the Watcher. Because the Watcher... Not that Watcher. Not Uatu. The audience.
He comes
into it.
I did not know where you were going with that one. Is EJ going to die?
I am the Watcher.
Pointing at him. The moment is prepared for.
No,
Big
EJ's
Red
gonna,
comes out.
EJ's going to lose Gina in a car crash and then take over the universe to try and bring him back to life.
Jesus.
Because in episode one, Big Red is like, drama, musicals, High School Musicals, lame, boo,
you forget,
cringe.
Because you forget he's roped into it, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's
literally just gets roped into it.
He's just sat there and Miss Jen goes, read the stage directions.
Yeah,
and he can barely read them.
The more it grows on him, the more it grows on. Then by the end of the first season, where he's like trying to do the Avery and getting it all wrong, you're like, what a legend. Then season two, and he starts joining in with the music. He sings in the opening song, and he gets Red Means Love, and he gets the relationship with Ashlyn, which is just adorable. And like every moment of those two together is fantastic. Like
so
him.
Good.
Him getting Ricky to order pizzas so he can show up, but then he's scared because he smells like pizzas, or him hiding in a locker and getting stuck and like bursting out and just running away. And I love him and Ricky's friendship and their running gag of like, if you want a woman to be impressed, you have to wear too much of this specific aftershave. It's just like constantly throughout the show, those two are just constantly spraying each other with aftershave. Which is such a teenage boy thing. It's like, this thing smells good. So the more I spray on me, the better I will smell.
And also, don't forget that, what's his name? Larry Sprinstein?
Saperstein.
Got to watch. If you want to go through his filmography, he has a film called Porno.
No. Also, on the High School Musical, the musical, the wiki, he's listed aliases the Unabomber.
Yeah, there's something weird going on with the wiki.
Because Ricky Datus imprisoned in Kabul, and Nini's is
he's clearly not.
Nini's is a status dead.
Oh god.
Yeah. Again, I do agree with like Big Red. It's like there's usually a lot of episodes where he doesn't get like any screen time basically because he's working at the shop. But then I like the fact that he's growing as a character, and I'm really interested. I mean, you said you think he's going to play Sven, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, he could. Yeah.
I think he's going to play Olaf, if anyone.
Oh, yeah. But then who would be Sven?
So I've kind of got like, because it's weird to give him two Josh Gad characters in a row.
Oh, that's a good
that's
point.
That's true.
I
don't
want to really
typecast him as
Olaf.
Josh Gad.
Maybe they'll get one of the unnamed extras who show up a little more.
There's that one extra who's clearly like being fast tracked to being
what the person
there. Like,
but I want to see the guy who looks like Pete Davidson. Screen time. There's a couple of girls in there who show up quite a lot. I just think it's a nice again. I'm looking for an episode where it's just like the extras. Or it's just the orchestra. And like, what do you mean you have to do another show?
What do you mean, camp?
Yeah. What? Frozen? What? Like, what are we going to do Frozen?
I think also Big Red had one of like the funniest scenes in the show for me. And it's when he's trying to come up with the contraption. Because they make him the tech guy as well, even though he has no clue what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he has to come up with the spinning contraption for them to do Ricky's transformation. And the three guys go down to his basement. And he's just like, it's just full of drills because he's so nervous and powerful. So he's just got loads of drills. And he's just picking up drills going like, if I do this, eventually something will spin.
I do you know, maybe we'll save this to the end, but we did this similar thing with Ghost, like what we want in the future. What I really want from the show is to be a bit more inventive with those other characters and like not move away from the musical at all. But I'd like them to explore, like, maybe become a little bit more of a straightforward high school drama as well. If they have to balance summer with exams, you know, like they come into the senior year, something like that. I don't know. I think it could be a lot of fun, particularly with, like, characters like Big Red, who has to, you know, he's got his job. Oh, he's happy with his pizza place. He's got to do the exams, and he's got to do this, and he's got to do that, and he's got what he has to have, like he has to sleep with the breathing thing, that he, which is quite a funny one at the start of the season. But yeah, I hope it becomes more inventive in the way that it explores these characters. I think not camp just will as musicians. Help with that,
because camp is, because at the moment all the characters obviously have their own lives, so they're separated a lot. But camp will be very much a season of like.
It'd be like high
putting
school
these characters,
too.
Putting these characters together like in one
rock.
Location.
Be like Camp Rock.
Yeah, weird that they aren't doing Camp Rock.
Yeah, it's
weird. They're going
they're
to summer
camp
and doing Frozen.
Yeah, it's weird.
Not having Nini do Demi Lovato covers is just like throwing money away, basically.
But don't forget, as well, it's kind of a big thing for these characters, because camp is where Nini met EJ. So
yeah.
It's going to be a bit like, ooh. Right. Should we do our top tens?
Yeah.
For the song.
Melanie, do you want to rattle yours off first?
Yeah, I'll. Should I go from down to top?
Oh, go
no,
10
no,
to
right,
1.
Right, no,
10
no,
to
1. No, no, no.
10
no,
to 1?
No, no, no. I think what we should do, how we did Rick and Morty, is that I want to... Should we? I don't want to just skip over the songs, because they're quite important. I want to speak about them a bit more. Not just
yeah,
list
but
them
not,
off.
But not... 10 to 4.
And if we share any,
speak
we bring
about
it up.
1, 2, 3.
Okay, we'll speak about 1, 2, 3. Fine.
But I've got Gaston at number 10. Then I've got Belle at 9. I've got, even though Ricky sucks in this one, I've got Something in the Air, which is a Christmas song, at number 8. I've got Born to Be
Brave. The song
that
was used to advertise season 2, which is a bit why, because it's catchy.
Yeah. Born to Be Brave, 7. Truth, Justice, and Songs in Our Key, 6.
Great title.
Great song.
Now I'm feeling that is way too low, but The Climb at number 5. You Ain't Seen Nothing at number 4. Role of a Lifetime at number 3, because I'm still a sucker for Ryan.
I forgot. Ryan shows up. I completely forgot that.
Yeah. Red Means Love at number 2. And obviously Wandering at number 1.
I share a lot of songs, but not all.
Yeah, we've got a few different, like, quite some differences.
I'll rattle mine off. We'll talk about the ones that are shared between multiple of our lists, I think. Yeah. I've got a 10. I've got Let You Go, which is Ricky's solo.
Same.
In season 2.
And we'll get
I think
one
it's really good. It's
three,
a really, like, solid Ricky moment. And I think, I know I said I wasn't going to talk about him. I think it says a lot for Ricky's character that he writes it to try and win Nini back. And then when he's done it, he goes, this is a bad idea. I'm just not going to do that. Like we broke
and then
that.
Helps Carlos.
Yeah, and then helps Carlos instead.
Yeah.
I've got Something in the Air at 9. I've got Start
Something in the Air.
Which is, I think, my only High School Musical cover on there. I've got Gaston at number 7. So again, just perfect casting. Second Chance, number 6. I think it's a fantastic end to the first season. Second season. I've got The Climb at number 5, obviously. Even When, the best part, the Nini Ricky duet in season 2. I've got that number 4. And then my top 3 are all very songs that sound like Olivia Rodrigo songs. I've got Granted at number 3, The Rose Song at number 2, and then obviously I've got Wondering at number 1.
I was really impressed that with the show that Wondering is as low down as it is on my list. The fact that I found 6 songs that I liked more. don't get me wrong. I really like Wondering. But I think it's just credit to the show that there are.
And what I forget when I listen to Wondering as well is that, like, I listen to some of the, like, really powerful parts and go, this isn't even Olivia Rodrigo. This is
it's Julia
mostly
Lester.
Julia Lester in that song.
Yeah.
So I got Let You Go at 10.
Yeah.
I've got Home by Aislinn, which is a really strong ballad. Truth, Justice, and Songs in Our Key, I think, is a great,
just a
great
bop.
Fun. I got Wondering at 7. Second Chance at 6. Really moving. I thought when they line up at the end,
yeah,
wasn't ready for that.
One that, like, totally sold by the choreography as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like,
Be Our Guest, I thought it was an absolute triumph.
Yeah, it's not on there, but it should be on my list, to be fair.
Yeah, it's an absolute triumph.
Yeah,
it's really hard to narrow down 10 from this show. I had to cut Belle to add Second Chance.
I'm a sucker for a can-can, and Born to Be Brave is 4, just because I think it's a really special song. Number 3 is Ain't Seen Nothing. Wasn't ready for it. That was quite a dull episode.
That's
for quite a lot of it.
That's where
and then that
Ain't
came
Seen
in
Nothing
end.
Kind of loses it on the list. It's great. Can't fault it. But like, I think to me, so much of what I loved about that was the choreography and editing of that video.
I really
and like the song itself to me doesn't like shine as much as some of the others, but in the show, that moment is just amazing. And like, must have been so hard to do. It's like they line up so much of that.
To think Big Red did that in like an afternoon. Reese.
Probably used a drill.
Yeah. Number two is All I Want. Honestly, my top two have a theme, which is that they all start with a cello. It's just a really strong cello, because All I Want starts with that. And then The Climb at number one. Just because
The Climb starts with a cello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, in that version, it does. Because there's a cello on the stage with
Thought it was, Seb. Oh, okay, I thought it was just Seven piano, but no, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just...
I can accept The Climb at the top.
I think my all my top ones are basically ones that like surprise me, maybe. I think the ones like where I was like, oh my god.
The Climb, I think it's very clear we've all got it. You don't know where you do not know The Climb is coming. Like
and like sideswipes you.
And like you're at the episode and Seb spent the whole episode going, like, I'm trying to think of the perfect gif. And then like he rocks up on the piano and he's all like, I know there's one thing that we're both a big fan of, and that's powerful women. And you're like, where's this going? And they're like, the first few like keys hit, and you're like, what?
Yeah, because it's already such an amazing moment in the Hannah Montana movie. And then
this is way better.
Hey.
Yeah.
Like, I got some like goosebumps when it was happening in the Hannah Montana movie, but I got full chills here.
I mean, I cried both times.
It's the best Seb and Carlos moment of the whole show. And that probably is one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah. It's a romp.
Yeah.
Despite
the suicide, yeah. And like EJ, great in that. Because he's just there, like, he's filming that video.
Yeah.
For everyone.
Yeah.
He's getting everyone to do that bit. And he saves Gina.
And All I Want, like, same as you, it's just an Olivia Rodrigo song, basically. And I think it explores her vocals the best out of the ones that are more than the ones that you listed for me anyway. I think Granted is a good pop song. And again, like you said with Ain't Seen Nothing, I think it benefits from the video. And they're just gonna go into a music video now.
Where she's like in the snowy bus.
Yeah.
I think where Granted and Rose Song like shine so high for me is that they're both in a plot line that isn't that great. Like Nini's like deciding to leave the cult and then get back with Ricky and all of that. But they're so good that those two songs alone explain to me more what was actually happening in their plot lines than the dialogue had.
Mm.
And I think in the hands of a different like singer, they might not have worked as well, but because she's so good, just like her vocals in those songs are just amazing. And if I'm right, I think she wrote them as well. And that's, they're so, so good. I think like the Rose Song, you could put straight onto Sour and it would fit.
Yeah.
And then I've got like, and it's an Olivia Rodrigo song, my number four as well, because I've got Even When the Best Part. And I love that. That's such a clever song because it's two separate songs that you put together and they make a completely different duet. Mm-hmm. And it's great. And I love like looking at the way they made that, where like Olivia Rodrigo wrote her side and like performed it and then sent that on to Joshua Bassett, who listened to it in his ear and wrote his side and then like performed his while listening to her side in his ear to make sure they went together. I think it's a really creative way to do a song of like, and like, you listen to either on their own,
funny,
good, but together.
It's funny when you listen to them on their own, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you fill in the gaps yourself.
They work really well. And I think it's a good episode as well, because they spend the whole episode missing each other.
Yeah.
And they finally come together. And they're like, so finally they just do it like separately and send the recordings.
Mm-hmm.
Really works. Wondering share by all of our lists, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's second episode, and we were all, I think at that point, we were like, whoa.
That was the moment I sat back and went, oh, this is a real TV show. They put effort into this. It's got talented people making good music.
Yeah.
Has likable characters.
Because
this could have been awful. This could have been the worst show.
We went into it thinking that.
And it was like a launch show for Disney Plus as well, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, it could have been so awful. But no, they're really good at it. I'm wondering, it's just
And it also could have been, I mean, you see that with even the title, and like every time the intro comes in, it's called High School Musical, the musical, the series. Like it's such a...
You know it, because then like that slams on, and then like the episode title slams on, and then there's like a 2 second pause, and then the Disney logo slams.
Yeah. So you're like, they could have done it like completely sort of parody or something, but they didn't go with it, even though the title kind of, you know, but... Yeah, they went serious and good, just like quality songs, quality drama.
Just such like a great like combo of music and lyrics and performance.
Well written characters.
Yeah, yeah, well written
and characters. I think it makes High School Musical worth watching. I don't know. For me anyway.
Then, like, even
it just makes it worth watching.
By the end of episode 2, the show's already written itself well enough that you fully understand where the characters are coming from when they sing a song like that.
Mm.
You get A Billion Sorries next, and you're like,
Billion Sorries. That's on the bottom of all our lists.
Do we all have Born to be Brave? Or was that?
I have it.
Yeah. Again, it's such
a powerful song.
And like, I'm going to bring up Doctor Who here. All the best Murray Gold. Musics have like they go with the moment, you know, that you remember the moment they're played.
I'm gonna chim the camera.
No, but like they're played at the moment that you remember, and like you remember the scene vividly when you listen to that song. And that for me, that Born to be Brave does that because,
yeah,
you know, when Carlos goes up and dances on his own, and then everyone else goes and joins him, and then EJ's too cool to dance, obviously, and then it's got the stuff with dancing in the bowling alley.
Do we have there's two that we share, Reese. We both got Let You Go.
Yeah.
It's just a powerful moment for Ricky. I think we've all said multiple times. Ricky's probably the weakest singer in the show, maybe. But like that's such a good solo.
Yeah.
And then it
felt right.
Yeah. Second Chance we both got. Because it's a great song to like pay off like the biggest dramatic arcs of the season. And just great videos come with it. And it doesn't, and they don't leave the season there. They don't leave the season on a downer with that. Cause then you get the scene in the diner afterwards. But yeah, amazing. And then I think me and you, Reese, both had that same reaction of whoa, when they like come onto the stage at the end and do the lineup like season one. But yeah.
Listen. Well, Mike, we are both suckers for nostalgia. And I love nostalgia. Yeah, I love 100%. Nostalgia that's only a few weeks old. and I think it just summed up the show for me. Is that you've got these four main characters, and all four at one point or another weren't the main characters. Yeah. At one point they fell into the background. Okay, I'd say Ricky never fell off. I'd say if there was one main character of the show, I'd probably give it to Ricky. But it's just like
handles its ensemble but it's just like, really but it's well. Like every character gets their moment.
I got really engaged with the characters that song when they're like you understand every single line they're singing, and you understand just their emotions at every point now, and I think I'm not going to say maybe not in the same way that I was when I was a kid watching something like Merlin or Doctor Who, or just, but I'm heavily invested in the characters above all else.
Can't wait for more. I can't wait for more of this Disney Plus kids show.
But you know
based
what I mean?
On High School Musical.
But, you know what I mean? But that's the point. It doesn't matter who made it. It doesn't matter how
who
it was made.
For.
It doesn't matter who it's for.
I mean,
you
I
write
feel like
bloody.
It is for
you
us.
Write.
We grew up with High School Musical.
Oh, not really.
I mean, I did.
I think it is made for people who, because there's a lot of points where they really hit you with like the High School Musical nostalgia, like the episode where Ricky's like really sad and he gets home and he like leans back and puts
and
his headphones in and then it cuts to black and like Zac Efron's solo playing.
But then his dad comes and watches it with him.
There is a lot of like High School Musical stuff. But what's weird is for the first few episodes, we were all like, does this hate High School Musical? Like, it kept talking down to it, hated the sequels, and it's very clear they
again,
don't.
But again, character.
Yeah.
Same reason why I love Stargirl. Focus on character. You focus on character, everything else around it doesn't matter. If your characters are nailed on, you've got a winner.
Yeah.
I also love the fact that there's a growth in the production value as well on like when you watch it as well, because the show in the first season is shocking, right? Okay, if I went to see that High School Musical, I'd be like, that was really
bad. I love the like actors and everything swap like minute to minute. Like
in the audience. It's just when Joshua Bassett misses and like nobody reacts. He spots the woman. I've had enough. I'm not going to play Troy anymore until come back at the end, and I'll just play Troy again. I like the Breaking Free because it's a bit different.
But then, like, well. And because then, like,
then Chad, Beauty and the Beast
for fantastic. The watchers, Chad became Troy, and an extra became Chad.
Yeah, Carlos becomes Chad to do. And then, what's her name? She Gina's in and out of it.
Yeah,
constantly.
Yeah. 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 I want to watch their version though. I bet it's amazing.
They should also like, yeah, put you that said version. It yourself.
Their Beauty and the Beast, the sets and costumes in that are fantastic. And you never don't buy that they made them in school.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm interested to see again how it goes next. What can they do differently? And I think
Frozen.
Yeah, you know, but if they do like address the fourth wall stuff as being made up. I think that pips this show conceptually to a 10 out of 10 for me. It's not quite there yet. I give this show overall maybe a 8.
Yeah, I'm on 8 just because like I think the main characters in season 2,
but
their story arcs are just this like, show, a bit all over the place.
This show now has an identity about it. And I think if it really doubles down on the identity of the show and establishes it as its own thing, not reliant on Disney product anymore, other than going straight to Frozen. I think I will say that is something that does hold it back a bit. There is a little bit of Disney.
Yeah, but it's also Disney.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I don't think they'd be able to
move away from that a little bit. Maybe
they try to do someone else's musical. That person would be like, if we give Disney the rights to use our musical, they will buy us within a year.
Well, that's the thing, right? Well, the thing, like, the musical
they should
I want...
do Hamilton.
Well, no, the musical I want.
Can
to
you
see...
imagine?
No. The musical I want to see them do is Rent. I think they'd be fantastic. Oh, just because Rent has a large cast to it, and it's
if they do Rent, you could feasibly bring in Vanessa Hudgens.
You can, and
because she was in Rent, she was in Tick Tick Boom, which is about Rent.
If this show wants to grow,
Vanessa Hudgens wasn't in Rent.
If she was. She was in the stage show 2 years ago.
I'm thinking of the film. Okay.
No, she wasn't in the film. She plays Rosario Dawson's character in the.
Oh, okay, okay.
But anyway, off that. if this show wants to grow with its audience, its already 20-year-old audience, if they want to grow with its audience, you've got to mature, and I think you've got to explore, and you've got to introduce people to different musicals. You can't just rely on Frozen. Do you know what I mean?
But,
like, you've got to be a bit adventurous.
I'm glad they're doing Frozen because I personally am a big fan of Frozen. Like, I look at that announcement and I go, I don't know which cast member's doing it, but one of these is doing Let It Go.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. I just want a scene with Ricky talking to a newbie and being like, all right, so you have to pretend that there is a camera everywhere.
What?
I want them to do Avengers the Musical.
I want them to
come in. It's the start of season 4, and it's finally the start of the new school year. And I was like, it's coming near Christmas. They're like, oh, I just watched Hawkeye. Let's do Avengers the Musical.
Did you not understand Hawkeye's grief of maybe they shouldn't really be doing a musical about this really horrible thing? Where like,
I got it.
But you still want to see it.
But Mike still wants to see it.
You want to see Hawkeye hurt. For your pleasure.
But we're not talking about Hawkeye yet. You'll have to wait
but
a few more weeks.
You say they shouldn't make this musical about a horrible time in history where loads of people got hurt, but Disney Plus released a 4-hour cut of Hamilton. So
Yeah, but that is a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Avengers is also fictional.
True.
but it's also not fictional in the universe it's set in.
No, but it's fictional in the universe of High School Musical, the series.
How do you know?
True.
All right.
Because Shazam's there.
Yeah. Does he say Shazam? Does he? We don't know.
No, he doesn't want to give it away. What I'm saying is he got out of the airport somehow and all the planes were grounded. So.
Black Adam's been so good.
Yeah. Oh, this is a fun episode.
Yeah.
If you have reached this point in the episode and you haven't watched these shows,
sorry, we spoiled it all.
Sorry for all the spoilers. But go watch them; they're great.
Yeah, it's
EJ
great.
is EJ, Gina, and Big Red all have the potential to make it into my top 200 characters if season keeps them as consistent as they are now.
Yeah.
Cat. Every time EJ is on scene, I'm very stop happy. Clapping. Risotto.
Risotto. Oh, the risotto date. But yeah.
Not a date. What do we call it? Gina's just, what do I wear for a date? And all of us, all at the same time, not that.
What were they thinking? God.
All right, should we do goodbyes?
Yeah.
It's a goodbye from me and goodbye from Mike.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Reese.
Goodbye.
And remember, we're all in this together.
See? At least we deserved it. More than the show.